Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries. This is Valerie Burrell, your host of Using My Keys podcast. I'm grateful that this month, up until this day, we've been talking about love, understanding what love is, sharing how to experience love. This past Wednesday, heard from some singles who shared their perspective of love. And this morning, we want to talk about love that lasts. We're the day after Valentine's Day, the day after so many went out and purchased expressions of love, cards, balloons, candy, jewelry, went out to movies and went out to dinner, all to express love. But as I watched and I listened and I saw people moving about for this one day, I had to ask myself, is this a love that's going to last? Or is this just the act of a moment to satisfy a desire? I heard people even with conversations say that Valentine's Day is not for men. It's only for women. It's for men to show women how they feel about them, which made me cringe even the more, because we know that often there's manipulation in relationship that people will call love, and it has nothing to do with love whatsoever. What we all desire, I believe, or should desire, is a love that lasts. So I want to talk about that this morning, a love that lasts. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and how you're going to speak to us and speak through us. God, I just pray now that the words will flow with ease, that they will do what you desire they do. And I give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Love that lasts. What are the keys in that love? Of course, lasting. When we look at love that lasts, we're talking about relationship. In love, we're always talking about empowerment. We're talking about life. We're talking about choices. We're talking about purpose. And in a love that lasts, we're also talking about Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 3. Bear with me one second. Ephesians 3. Verses 18 and 19. Well, let me go up. Starting at verse 16. It says, I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And now to him who by power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all we ask or think. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's Ephesians, starting at verse 16. Go back to verse 19, and it says, "And thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Filled up to all the fullness of God. And when I hear that scripture and how it is a desire to be filled up with all the fullness of God, when you think about something being filled, that says there are no voids, there's no blank spaces, there's not a need for anything else to be poured into the container. It's filled. And it goes on to say, and it's full. So whatever was poured in, there was no evaporation, there was no leakage, there was no seeping, nothing. It was full, full. That speaks to me as being constant and everlasting. That once it's in, it remains. Doesn't go anywhere. It's going to last. Love for us is going to last. We go back, we look at John 3:16, very familiar passage of scripture. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved, he gave, and we had everlasting life. So in having everlasting life, we're also able to experience a love that's everlasting. Why? Because that relationship is with God and his son Jesus, who paid a price for us so that we can live. Then we measure our love in relationships in the earth. We measure our love. It has to be tangible. It has to be explained. I don't know how many times I've heard people ask the question, and I've even asked myself, why do you love me? And how do you know you love me? We posed also a question on Wednesday night. Are we looking for signs or are we listening for words? In this love that lasts, we have a sign every morning when we wake up and we have breath. We have blood running warm in our bodies. We have a sign of his love. When the Lord has been faithful to us more than we've been faithful to him, his grace and his mercy have been there. Songwriter says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And he remains faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to him. Now, to me, that's a significant sign of a love that lasts. Because, you know, for us, in a relationship with our significant other, that if they do us wrong, by our definition, we walk away. And then often we're not forgiving, or it takes a long time. But the love that God has for us says that, you know what, if you come to me and repent of your sin, I'm faithful to forgive you. He said, if you cast your cares on me, I want you to do that because I care for you. And he says, when you come to me repentant, I cast your sin into a sea of forgetfulness. I don't even bring it up anymore. It's behind us. We're in a new place. We're moving forward in life. Why? Because I love you. I wonder sometimes why it's so hard for people to grasp the concept of God's love. And I know the word tells us, it says, how can you love God that you've never seen, but don't love your brother? How is that possible? And I think maybe sometimes because people haven't experienced that moment with him where his presence is so tangible that you know you've been with God, you know that you felt God and that he's felt you and that you all have experienced something that's unexplainable to alleviate any doubt that God exists. Maybe you haven't had that moment that makes you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. But I'm here this morning to let you know that he is. He is real. His love for us is real. His desires for our life are real. But he needs for us to make the right choices about this love that he has for us. We talk about salvation being a gift. You don't have to purchase it. You just have to receive it. Again, because of his love. No receipt required. The bill has been paid. It was paid at Calvary by Jesus' shed blood to give us life and to show forth God's love to us forever. Forever. Oh, God, forever. Thank you, Lord. Let me go to this scripture. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you have any friends? No, that's a loaded question. Do you have anyone that's significant enough in your life that you would lay your life down to them? I know we have our soldiers, our men and women that serve in the military that have vowed to give their life for their country. But how many would just give your life for a friend as a testament of love? I venture to say that not very many of us. Now, I know that there's some mothers that would stand in the way and give their life for their children, and you know, even in giving birth. As a mother, we pray for an easy birth, a successful birth, but it's a moment where go one way or another. But we as women endure this to bring forth another life. Because God blessed us to do that. That's how he loves us, to be able to be fruitful and multiply. The love that God wants us to have and experience with him is covenant. I'm talking to couples who are planning to be married. I share with them that this love that you all are to live is not just an emotion. It's not just a means of bringing together two incomes to make a more solidified living situation. It's not about, you know, wanting to deny them the opportunity to be with someone else. But it's a relationship, a covenant with God first and then with each other? Were you going to cherish each other? A lot of vows have taken out for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health. Forsaking all others until death do you part. But those are components that you have to be mindful of when entering a relationship as husband and wife regarding love. The love that Jesus has for us is so, I don't even feel like there's a word to describe his love. To know that he loved us in his life. He loved us at the moment of his death. He's been constantly loving us and asking us to show forth our love to him daily. He wants to see a sign in us that we have a love that lasts for him. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey commandments. Is that so hard? Is that so hard to obey his commandments? And I know everybody would think, what are you talking about, the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I could be talking about the Ten Commandments. But I'm talking about everything that he commands of us, Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, he says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who, but showing love, 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Since remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Honor your father and your mother, so that your lives, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Verse 20 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Those are the commandments. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then Moses tells us down in verse 20 that, you know, when the Lord was speaking this, he was trying to instill fear when they heard that lightning strike, to let them know that God is not playing. This is not a joke to him. This is what he requires of us. This is what he requires. We can experience that last with him. I read that scripture, and I don't ever remember reading it this way before, but I guess it wasn't for me to pay attention then as I am now. I'm going to go back to that. Thank you, Lord. It's verse 4 in Exodus 20. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you hear how powerful that is? That he will show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So in experiencing a love that lasts, we do that by obeying his commandments. And if we honor that and obey not just the 10, but we obey all of his commandments, he's telling us that he's going to love generations that follow us, 1,000 generations. So you've got to know that your behavior towards love and the love of God does not just affect you, but it affects the generations behind you. I look at my children, my grandson, my other grandson that'll be here in a few weeks, thanking God for them. But often I wonder, God, if what they're dealing with right now is not a result of what I did, or was it a result of something my mother or my grandmother or someone generations back did in their relationship with you that have us in this generational circle, this generation of consequences, this generation of actions that go on and on and on. If so, I know that the remedy is to love God the way God requires from us and to receive the love that he has for us. He offers us a love that lasts. The question is, are you willing to receive it? When a guy says, girl, I love you forever, we are always and forever in love, and in a moment, you want to believe it so much. And then when things go wrong, you go, ah, here we go again. I'm not bashing love. I'm not. Love is wonderful. Love is wonderful. I'm grateful I have the world's greatest husband at my side. And I know, I don't have to question his love for me. It's evident, as is my love for him. I with confidence, know that this love will last until death do us part. But not just this love, the love I have with Christ. He's already given his life for me so that I can live and love. But what he wants for me and you is that we commit to him to do that which he's called us to do, to obey what he stated that we should do, and to give him our all, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. A songwriter said, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. That's what he wants from us. This love lasts forever, but he requires all of us, our heart, our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit. He wants all. He wants to fill us so that we'll be full and that the Father will be glorified through all relationships in the earth. It'll be because of his love that is everlasting. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless God. Ah, bless God. Bless God. This Wednesday, we will continue our conversations about love. We will have a panel of individuals who have felt love, felt it was the right thing. Because of that, got married, and now they're divorced. I'm going to talk about love after divorce, the challenges that these individuals face. Do I try it again? Is it worth it? Can I trust anyone else? Is it better that I just stay by myself? Can they handle what I bring to the table? Love after divorce. So I hope you can free up your schedule on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. to join us so that we can empower each other. As always here at the Empowerment Place, it's our desire that each of us do something daily to empower ourselves. And once we've been empowered, we then take the responsibility to empower someone else. So my prayer is that the word that you've heard this morning has enriched you, has empowered you. And in doing so, you will take the responsibility to share with someone else today about a love that's everlasting, about a love that God has for us, that Christ has for us, so much so that God gave his only son that we might have life, that he loved us that way, and that what he wants from us is to show forth our love to him by obeying his commandments. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, for what you have spoken, for how our heartstrings are now being played to a different tune. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love. And we ask, God, that you would just allow this to resonate in our spirits, to bring forth fruit and evidence that we understand what love is and the ability to make love last. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each of you. Join us again on Wednesday using your keys. God bless.